2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. We're back in our series, which we've been calling Unstoppable. It's been a couple weeks, but we're back. If you remember, our theme verse is Philippians 1:6, being confident that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And God is able to finish what he has begun in us, and God is able to do what he has said he will do, and what he has said he can do. So tonight we're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16, and we're going to look at the subject of unstoppable peace. Unstoppable peace. Verse 16, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all. Let's begin with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we can have peace. And Lord, we ask you would teach us your word this evening. We pray that your Holy Spirit would have complete control in this service now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Unstoppable peace. What is peace, though? Maybe when you think about peace, there's a certain scene that comes to mind. Maybe it's like a cabin by the lake, and you're out there on the porch, and it's early in the morning, and you can hear the birds, and it's just so peaceful. You know, it's like the lake is like glass, and it's just quiet out there. Maybe for you it's that first cup of coffee early in the morning when nobody else is awake, and it's just you, and you've just got that cup of coffee, and whole day's ahead of you, got a good night's rest, and maybe that's what you see. Maybe for you it's you're on the couch or in your like recliner, and you've got a book and a blanket, and that's all you need, right? Maybe that's what peace is to you. Maybe it's you've come home from work and it's been a good day, and you got a lot done. Like, you checked off your entire to-do list at work, and now you just sink down into that recliner, into the couch, and you're like, ah, I can just relax. You know, and we have all these different scenes maybe in our mind when we think about peace, but the idea of peace is, you look it up in the dictionary, it's a freedom from disturbance, right? It's an inner freedom from disturbance. It's a sense of safety and security that things are okay, that things are going to be okay. It's a calmness and a quietness that we have in our heart. And it's just that peace that we're looking for. But we also understand how hard peace is to maintain and how hard it is to stay there in that attitude, that space of peace. You know, the United Nations, they have a peacekeeping unit. It's like 70,000 military personnel that they have from different countries in the world. This peacekeeping unit, they are armored and they are armed, right? Because that's what it takes to maintain peace. Because peace isn't something that just comes naturally, whether it's among countries or if it's just in our own lives. And we know from our experience how hard it can be to just have peace, whether that's in relationships or just in our own heart and in our own mind. And it doesn't take much for that calmness and that quietness to be shattered and to be broken. And it takes just a phone call, you know, just for that phone to ring. And there it goes, you know, or a voice that calls your name and you go, oh, there goes any semblance of peace I had. Or, you know, you just, all of a sudden it comes back to your mind, all the things that you've got to do. And you just, you know, there goes your peace, right? And it can happen so frequently to us, and we understand as people how hard it is for us to not only get peace, but also to just hold on to that and to maintain that throughout a day or even a, you know, even an hour. But sometimes we try and be like the peacekeepers in our life, and we try and manage things so that it is peaceful, and we try and rearrange things or change things, you know, take things out, add things in. We try and control relationships, and there's a lot of things we do that to try and get peace and hold on to the peace that we have. And there's just a lot of things that we attempt to do to make everything okay and to make us have that sense of security and sense of that things are in hand, things are under control, that things are okay, and have that calmness and that stillness and that quietness. We put a lot of time and work into that, but doesn't it seem like peace is one of those things that the more you chase it, the further away it gets? And the harder you try and like hold on to it and control it, the faster it goes. And it just seems to be one of those things that's very elusive many times. So how can we have the peace that we're looking for? I mean, we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16, a peace where it's described as always and by all means. A peace that is there always, and it's by all means, or really the idea is like in everything. By everything that takes place and all the things that go on in our life, there is this peace. And we would read that peace always by all means and say that's unstoppable peace. Peace always by all means, an unstoppable peace. And so the question tonight is, how do we get there? How do we have an unstoppable peace, a real peace, a biblical peace, the true peace that we're looking for, a peace where I'm at peace with where I'm at, who I am, the things that are around me, the people that are in my life, all the things that are taking place. How do I get to that point where I have true, unstoppable peace that God wants me to have? Well, you know, in our series, we've been finding that the blessings of God are unstoppable because of the one who gives them to us, because God himself is unstoppable, and he is able to give us things and to do things for us that we can't do for ourselves and that we could not obtain for ourselves. And that's what we need to see tonight. So there's two important elements we need to know about unstoppable peace that I think many times are easily forgotten by us. And so the first is this: real peace is only found in Jesus Christ. Real peace is only found in Jesus Christ. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible is very clear that unstoppable peace only comes from God. Jesus Christ is called in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, the Prince of Peace. In the New Testament, five times, he's referred to as the God of Peace. In the verse we read, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, he is called the Lord of Peace. Lord being like the master, the one in charge, the one who controls peace. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17, it says about Jesus Christ that he came and he preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. Jesus Christ came and he preached peace. The gospel is, it's a message of peace. If you remember back in Luke chapter 2, which is the account of the birth of Jesus Christ, and so much was taking place at, you know, at the manger and all of that. And then there's these angels that appear to the shepherds and they have a message. They tell them about that Jesus Christ is born. They tell them to go there. But then it says in Luke 2 and verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, here's their message, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Their message was the gospel, Jesus Christ, is bringing glory to God in the highest, that God is going to be glorified through the gospel. But then also he said, peace, goodwill toward men, peace on earth. And that is, it's a peace that man could have with God because of Jesus Christ, but it's also a peace that man could have with other men and with their lives because of Jesus Christ. It's a very broad statement, peace, goodwill toward men. And the peace came, that peace that was preached in the gospel comes through the reconciling work of Jesus Christ. And so we're in Ephesians chapter 2. If we go back to verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. There's a lot in that passage. But he starts off saying that those who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Far off. He's talking about the Gentiles who were far off in many cases geographically. They were way away from Israel and the temple and that center for the worship of God. They weren't right nearby as Israel was. Right? So they're far off, but it wasn't just geographically, it was more importantly spiritually, that they didn't have God, that they worshiped their false gods. They worshiped all their pagan deities, and they were wicked, They were unbelieving and they were sinful. And what we see in even in the design of the temple, right, when we talk about the Gentiles being far off, there was the temple where Israel could go in to worship, and then there was the places where the priests and the high priest only could enter. But outside in that temple, there was what's called the court of the Gentiles. And there was a place where the Gentiles could come, but then there was a wall. And in that gate was a gate, and only Israel could go through that gate. The Gentiles were excluded. They were kept out from that. But now Paul is saying that Jesus Christ broke down that middle wall, right? That wall, as he would mention this, they would all know what he was talking about, the wall that separated the Gentiles from the temple. Jesus Christ broke down that wall, for he is our peace, verse 14, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And I love how inclusive the language of the Bible is when it comes to the gospel. When, as he says here, that Gentiles and the Jewish people can be saved. And we read that all throughout Scripture. For God so loved the world. And we read on and on verses about how inclusive the gospel is, that anybody can be saved. And there's a lot of people, Christians, that try and limit that, and they try and restrict the universal call of the gospel, but God says anybody that calls upon Jesus Christ can be saved. And so those that were far off, they're made nigh. And he talks about the peace that is made, not just peace between Jews and Gentiles because of the gospel, but more importantly, peace between man and God. That those that were far off can now be at peace with God. And verse 16, he says he destroyed, having abolished or destroyed in his flesh, the enmity. That's the hostility, the opposition, the hatred that we had toward God. Not that God had toward us, because God loved us first, but it's that hatred that we had toward God, the opposition where we rebelled against God and rejected his authority, the animosity we had toward God. The other day, I found a snake in the middle of the road, and it was alive. So it was a garter snake. It was probably about a foot and a half long, and was stretched right across the middle of the road. It looked like it was, you know, headed from one side to the other. And I thought, it's going to get run over, right? That was my thought. And I'm not a big fan of snakes, but in a moment of generosity or kindness, I was like, I should help this poor thing out, you know, help it get to the other side. So I went behind it, and I took my foot, and I was going to, like, give it a nudge in the back of its tail. And as soon as I came near it, the thing coiled up and looked like it was going to bite me. So I went, fine, you stay there. Stay in the middle of the road. I don't care. You know, all of a sudden, like, here I am trying to help this thing out, and it turns on me. But, you know, that's just its nature, right? And so I decided we weren't going to be friends. me and this snake, whoever, you know, I was like, we're done. But that's our relationship with God. That was our relationship with God. By nature, we were fighting against God. And when God tried to help us, we rejected that. And we had this opposition and hatred toward God, and yet because of Jesus Christ, that is broken down. He abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and look at verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Jesus Christ took all of our sin that separated us from God, and he took that upon himself. And he bore that sin so that we could have peace with God. Isaiah says, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And so Jesus Christ made us righteous, because there is peace between man and God if man has been made righteous by Jesus Christ. So that's what Jesus Christ did. That's why there's only peace for us in Jesus Christ, because he is the one that bore our sin, that took all of our sin and all of our opposition to God upon himself, and took it out of the way. He made peace between man and God. And we have to remember that the only peace that we have is found in Jesus Christ. He took that fractured and hostile relationship that we had with God, and he transformed it into one of friendship and to one of family and a relationship of love and peace with God. So peace with God, number one, it's found in Jesus Christ because of what he did for us on the cross. But number two, the second element is this. Real peace is only found in trusting Jesus Christ. It's only found in Jesus Christ, but it's also only found in trusting Jesus Christ. Sometimes writers will say, they'll use the phrase, they knew it like the back of their hand. You know, he knew the woods where he grew up like the back of his hand. And I've always thought, how well do I know the back of my hand? You know, I always have that question. Like, I don't know. And then I second guess myself. Like, if somebody, there's certain things I know about my hand. I've got a scar here, so, and I would probably recognize that. But I'm thinking, if they took like a 2-inch by 2-inch square of the back, like a picture of the back of my hand, and just like zoomed in on a little square, and then they put it in a lineup, you know, with like 5 other hands that kind of looked like mine, would I be able to pick it out? And I go, what I would probably do is I'd go through and go, yeah, that's my hand, and then second guess myself. I go, I don't know, maybe it's that one, you know, maybe I'm not that tan, or maybe I'm, you know, whiter than I think. And I would really second guess, like, how well do I know my hand? And then I think about the hands of Jesus Christ, and I say, those are distinct. They're very recognizable, and they're recognizable because of the wounds that are in the hands of Jesus Christ, because his hands have been pierced by nails. And in we read in the account of the resurrection as he appears to Thomas, right? What does he do? In his resurrected body, he shows to Thomas his hands, and he says, you can put your fingers in the prints of the nails that are in my hand. We come to the book of Revelation, and he's described, Jesus Christ is described as the Lamb that had been slain. That was how he appeared. Like, there were visible marks of his death still there. And I believe still in the body of Jesus Christ, there are those marks of what he did for us on the cross. Fanny Crosby, who was famously a blind hymn writer in the 1800s, she wrote, "My Savior First of All." She said, "When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer." She said, "I'll know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me." And she says, "I'm going to know him," in the chorus, "by the print of the nails in his hand." Now, when you read the book of Revelation, from the description of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, I don't think we're going to have any issue recognizing Jesus Christ when we get to heaven. I don't think we're going to have to go through the crowds of heaven going, "Show me your hands," to find Jesus Christ. But I love that thought, right? That we see Jesus Christ and we see in his body his love for us and his care for us shown to us in his hands, the hands of Jesus Christ in that. Just seeing those, focusing on the hands of Jesus Christ in that picture, that reminder of how much he cares for us and how much he has done for us. And in John chapter 10 in verse 28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And then we understand that in those nail-pierced hands, Jesus Christ holds you and me. He holds us in his hand, those hands that show us how much he cares for us and how much he loves us. And unstoppable peace is us understanding and realizing and trusting that we are in his hands, that he is holding us, that he's holding us up, that it's not us, it's not our efforts, it's not our attempts to bring about peace, it's that he's holding us up, that we're safe, that we're secure in his hands. And what better, safer place to be than in the hands of Jesus Christ? We know that our eternity is safe in Jesus Christ. We don't keep ourselves saved. We don't maintain that. Jesus does that. We're held in his hands. And Satan's called the accuser of the brethren, and Brother Schwenke pointed out that in one of his messages that it doesn't say that he's a false accuser of the brethren, right? Because we give him plenty of ammunition, right, to accuse us and things that we do and how we disappoint God and all the sin that we commit, where Satan can accuse us of that, and yet that doesn't matter because we are held in Jesus Christ's hands. If it was up to us and we had to hold our salvation in our hands and we had to keep our salvation secure by our perfection and by our goodness, we would fail. And yet we say it's not up to us. We're held in the hands of Jesus Christ. With the ways we struggle with sin, those do not end our salvation. Those don't end our security, because our security and our safety is found in Jesus Christ. And there's peace in that. There's eternal peace in knowing that we are held in the hands of Jesus Christ. But it's not just our eternity that's held in his hands. We are in his hands. Us, our lives, our today, our tomorrow, all the things that we have in our life, that is held in the hands of Jesus Christ. Our health is in the hands of Jesus Christ. And nothing can take us out of his hands. I mean, COVID can't do that. All the things that we struggle with, all the health issues that we go through, all of that, we understand that we're held in his hands, that he knows all of that, and that he cares, and that he's in control through all of that. Even things where we look at it and say, well, that was an accident, right? That an accident took place, yet that has not taken us out of the hands of Jesus Christ. Our finances are in the hands of Jesus Christ. And it could be that we go through raises at work or pay cuts. There's inflation, there's the economy. People give us things, and then there's unexpected bills, and money goes in and out, right? All of that is in the hands of God. We are held safely in his hands, and we need to remember that. All the responsibilities of our life are in his hands. The deadlines that are at work, your to-do list, the tasks you have to do at home, all of those things, those jobs where people depend on you to get those done, all those responsibilities of your life, they're held in Jesus Christ's hands. All of those things, all of our life. And you know what? Jesus Christ, there's many things that, because we're in his hands, there's many things that he keeps from our life. Right? There's many things that he spares us from and protects us from. And I don't think we know even the slightest bit of all that he keeps us from and all that he protects us from. But then there's so many things that he allows to bring into our life. Tragedies and trials and blessings and all of those things that God allows into our life, and yet all the time, constantly, we are held in his hands. And God's in control. And God knows all of that. And our peace does not depend on what happens to be in our life or what may not be there. What God has allowed or what God has kept from us, peace doesn't depend upon that. Peace doesn't have to fluctuate with our circumstances and the situations of our life, because our position in the hands of Jesus Christ never changes. He has us. He's keeping us. And that constant allows us to have unstoppable peace, because the rest of life, we know, is not constant. It's always moving, always shifting, and always changing. And if that's what we're looking for to find peace, if that's where we're going for peace, we're not going to find it there. We won't find unstoppable peace with all that's around us. We only find it when we recognize that where we are does not change, that we are held in the hands of Jesus Christ. Romans 8 and verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Paul says we know that. Sometimes we forget that, though. We know what the Bible says, and we know Romans 8, 28. We've quoted that our whole life. We have many times we forget that all things work together for good. Psalm 4 and verse 8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Sometimes sleep goes when we don't have peace. But the Lord says, or the Bible says, thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And I want to turn to one more passage, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying in verse 6? Paul's saying, listen, you take all of those things that you're worried about, all those things that are disturbing your peace, and you take all of them to the Lord, and you put them back in his hands. And you say, Lord, you have this. You're in control. I'm trusting you with this. All of those things that you are concerned about, all those worries, you take those to the Lord by prayer, and you leave them with him. And then he says in verse 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, that doesn't make sense in your situation, an unstoppable peace will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So tonight, what is it that you're worried about? What is it that's for you that's disturbing your peace? And that maybe it's that thing that keeps coming back to your mind, and you keep you keep thinking about and you keep trying to figure out and trying to work out in your mind and you keep trying to solve it so that you can have peace? What is it that's disturbing your peace? And the next question is, why is that in your hands? Why is it that we've taken that and put it in our own hands and said, I'll deal with this. I'll take care of this. I'll make this go away so that I can have peace. It doesn't belong in our hands. We need to take all of that. Be careful for nothing. Take that and put it back in God's hands. Take it to the Lord and say, Lord, this is yours. I am your child. My life is yours, and I trust you with this. I leave this in your hands. And you know, we were talking about this in our Sunday school class, I think, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, about how many times, like, we have to redo this. Like, sometimes we read scripture and it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God in the peace of God. And we go, okay, I pray about it once and I'm done. I just have to pray about it once and I'll have peace. And it's more often that it's, I pray about it and then I think about it and I pray about it again. And then it comes back to my mind and I pray about it again. And I have to go through this process of multiple times of just taking it back to the Lord, because we're so good at putting something in God's hands and then taking it back out again. And then we go, nope, put it back. And then with the other hand, and we pull it back. And we do this back and forth until we can finally just say, no, I'm going to completely leave in God's hands and take it back. And many times it's that way for us, isn't it? Just constantly leaving it with the Lord, constantly realizing we've got it back in our hands. I'm trying to figure this out again. I just put it back in God's hands and the peace of God then. Then once we've got ourselves and everything in God's hands, then the peace of God which passeth understanding shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen, if you don't have peace, check what's in your hands. Check what it is that you're holding on to. Find out what's in your hands and then give it back to God. That's how we get in the way of peace, is by taking things and trying to do it ourselves. An unstoppable peace, the Bible says, it's always available. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, you can have peace always by all means. With all that's going on, with everything in your life, you can have peace, but it's not found in our ability to control our life. It's not in our ability to manipulate the circumstances of life and to get things done and to control things. Unstoppable peace is found in the hands of Jesus Christ. Those hands that show us that he died for us, that he has saved us. In those hands we find safety. In those hands we find security. So take all of your life, take everything, all the big things, all the little things, all the things that we're worried about, leave those with Jesus Christ and find his unstoppable peace. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for the peace that you give us. We thank you that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could be reconciled to God and find peace. And Lord, help us to leave everything with you, to take all the concerns and worries of our life and to place them in your hands. Help us to trust you. So Lord, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.